let's just make up something. I'm not going to tell you guys yet. Don't open up your Bibles just yet. Oh, most gracious Father, we just do thank you for today. We ask that you would accompany this place, that you would join us, that you would meet us, that you would direct us. God, I pray that you would speak to us in a magnificent way, God. I ask, Lord God, that every heart would be on fire for you, God. I'm asking that your anointing would fall in this place. Salvation would fall in this place, God. I'm asking, Lord God, that your healing spirit would be in this place. Anybody that came in this place aching or feeling bad in any type of way, God, we're asking that your healing wings would move about, God. I'm asking, Lord God, that any stress that anybody would feel, God, that they would have a peace that descend upon their mind, God. We rebuke a spirit of depression. We rebuke a spirit of just mental confusion, Lord God. We rebuke a spirit of Alzheimer's in the name of Jesus, but we're praying for clarity in thought, clarity in heart, God. God, I'm praying, Lord God, that every single thing that the devil have stole from us, God, that we would get it fold, God. I know, Lord God, that we are living in the day that we are reaping, Lord God, all the years that we've been planting. And so, Father, I pray that every woman would reap what they have been planting years prior to this day, God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I'm going to wait a while before I open up the Bible because I kind of want to leave it up in the air as we're talking about the new, the women of the Bible. Guys, keep my time. I am not going to keep y'all long. What time is it now? 7:20. 8 o'clock is going to be the time we'll get out of here. God spare. All right. A few announcements. We do have the single table out. The single ladies, if you are single and want to participate, which we highly suggest that you guys do, they are doing a city tour. All right, like to the mall, to Vermilionville. Where else, Maryland Hope? The farmer's market. All kinds of just fun things like that. If you want to participate, sign up in the foyer tonight and or tomorrow. It's Saturday coming, okay? Happy birthday, Marisha. All right. Okay, so hats, heels, and hugs. Yay! Mama's gonna need a water. Can you grab me one? Yeah, anywhere. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, all right, thank you. It's June 1st. That's a Friday night. All right, June 1st, Friday night. It's gonna be at the Cade Center. All right, and we're gonna have all kinds of fun things. We're gonna do table decorations again. Kind of like the anniversary, but a little different. We will kind of make it a little contest, y'all. We will kind of make it a little context. But if you are wanting to host a table, you come free. Okay, so you don't have to pay if you want to host. If you do not host, we're going to probably charge between $15 and $20. We will get it catered so your funds will cover just to cater the food. Okay, I don't want to cook. Y'all want to cook? No, I'm okay. Yeah, so that's why we're going to try to get it catered by somebody that can kind of give it to us for a reasonable price. More information to follow. If you decide to host a table, the theme is Women of the Bible. All right, so just kind of think about it, pray about it, see if you want to host a table. All creative people, y'all juices are going right now. All right. Let's see. Also, I am going to be, the Lord has blessed me, a woman of God that I've been knowing for years, probably since I was about 8 or 9. She's a first lady in Vinton, Louisiana. She's having a women's conference, and she wants me to be one of the speakers. I think she has 4 speakers. Yay, glory to God. If you would like to come see Renee Hill, it's like $15 to go to their conference. It is a little far. It's on May 5th. I think it's about an hour. Anybody know where Vinton is? It's like going towards Lake Charles. Sharita's in the back. Me! Her husband's from Vinton. I guess about an hour and a half. Not that far? 45? 45 minutes. Okay. Oh, it's by Lake Charles. Lake Charles is about 30, 40 minutes. Okay, so it's really close. It starts about 8:30 in the morning, so it's pretty much all day. Of course, I'm guessing you could leave whenever you want. I don't know. But if you have any questions, please see Renee Hill. She's going to be doing that for me. All right. One more thing. Okay. Hey, Chris. All right. And yes, so for the table decorations, you'll probably want to see Ms. Chantel, Ms. Chris, and Ms. Dawana, and Maisha. They'll be leading that up. All right. So, y'all, I've learned something new. And I just want to share it before I get to the word. So I'm always trying to find good ways to cook quicker. You remember I told you I was going to say it? All right. So I've discovered meal prep. But it's not the typical meal prep. Before, what I thought meal prep was, on like one day, you cook all your meals for the entire week. But I've discovered an entirely new meal prep. So what you do is, like, say you're cooking spaghetti, baked chicken, I don't know, a roast. So you get all your meat out, all your vegetables, onions, and bell peppers. You season all your meat. You cut up all your onions and vegetables. You take a Ziploc bag. You put it in the Ziploc bag. And whenever it's time to, and all of this takes 1 hour. Y'all knew about this already? Man, this is amazing. Just 1 hour, and it'll save like 3 to 4 hours during the week. And you just keep it in your refrigerator and like the roast. And keep in mind, it's been marinating. So it'll taste really good. So like, I was so excited. So last night I did all of mine. And so today, I did meatloaf today. So today I just took my pans and put them in the oven. And that was it. And so I have a roast that's been marinating. Then I have some chicken breast. Okay, y'all knew about that. How many of y'all knew that already? I was like, because I always thought it was completely cooking all of your food and serving it in the little portions. You know what I mean, Underwana? Yeah, like people that are, you know, all right, okay, all right. Anyways, moving on to the text tonight, guys. The Lord had blessed me with this word in my regular reading time, probably the end of February and March. And whenever I read about this amazing woman, I told Pastor, Bae, I have to teach her. Even whenever I taught the last lady, Eve, I knew in my spirit where God was leading me to teach for this upcoming Bible study. I'm going to try to give you a few hints before I actually say her name. She's a woman in the Bible that is not described by her looks. She is not described by her body. Okay? Her name is not even mentioned in the scriptures. Yeah. Okay, let's see what else. She is what the Bible would refer to as a Proverbs woman. She's full of wisdom and character. She's a dynamic woman for us to role model. And she is only listed in one part of Scripture. She's listed in the Old Testament. She's actually referred to by the city that she comes from. All right. Anybody can guess. Don't feel pressured if you don't know. All right. No, not quite. Don't y'all to try to guess. All right, Miss Mary. Not quite. In the Old Testament, yes. Ms. Shamik, uh-huh. Not quite, but close. I'm going to give one. She said the virtuous woman. Okay, Ms. Connie? The Samaritan, not quite, but this beautiful lady said it. The Shunammite woman. All right, some of y'all are like, who's the Shunammite woman? Well, we will discover the Shunammite woman today. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings. I said I was going to have you guys turn to it, but I said if they turn to it, they'll get it. 2 Kings chapter 4. We will look at the Shunammite woman. Yeah, she was from a city called Shunem. Like, if that ain't McCormick. Visa,
crop.
And then I don't know what it is. All right, guys, so tonight our title is The Shunammite Woman, or A Great Woman is what she's known as in 2 Kings chapter 4. We will have 3 points tonight. Great is our point number one. Our point number two is let us make him a little chamber. Let us make him a little chamber. And three, it is well. It is well. It is well. So it's great. Let us make him a little chamber, and it is well. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor that God has something special for you tonight. Tell your other neighbor that he's had this appointment set. Tell the woman behind you and say, I'm happy I didn't miss it. All right, all right. So let's go ahead and read verse 8. The Bible says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was, that as oft as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. The Bible talks about Elisha. Elisha is a prophet, somebody that hears on the behalf of God or speaks on the behalf of God. He was led by Elijah. Anybody remember Elijah? Well, Elisha loved and wanted to be so much like Elijah that he asked him. He said, listen, he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah told him this. He says, if you can see me when I leave, then the Lord will deliver on his word and put the new mantle upon you. So Elisha did see whenever Elijah went up into the chariots of fire. All right. And whenever that happened, the mantle of prophecy descended upon Elisha. So this is the man of God during this day. And what he does is he goes to different cities and he ministers the word. He lays hands on the sick. Right in the early part of chapter 4, he actually goes to the widow's house. All right. In chapter 4, he visits two women. The first woman is the widow. And you remember she owed all kinds of debt. And so she says, listen, the debtors have come to collect. And so I don't have anything else. So she said, so Elisha comes through. She sends her sons out, collects all kinds of buckets. They fill them up with oil enough for her to pay her debt. Everybody remembers that. So the second woman that he sees is found in verse 8. And so he sees this woman of Shunem. But the Bible says that he would pass through this area all of time. This area is known as the Issachar region. Out of the 12 tribes, the 10, out of those 10 is Issachar. And so he would pass through there all the time on his route. And he would always pass right in front of the Shunammite's house. All right? And so she would see him passing through there all the time. So as she saw him, the man of God, she said, you know what? I want you to come and eat at my house. All right? She said, I want you to come and eat. The Bible says that she constrained him. Some commentators said that she forced him to come and meet and eat at her house. Not forcing, like attack forcing, but compelling him to come. So this is Shunem. It's known in the Bible as a double resting place. One reason, because the Philistines, when they were about to attack Paul, this is just a little history, they rested in this city. And Elisha would rest in this city as well. Hence, it's called a double resting place. All right? So, getting to our point number one. Great. The Bible describes her. This is an adjective that describes this woman of God. The Bible says that she is great. She is great. The word in the Hebrew is gadol. Say that with me. Gadol. Which means well-known. She's rich. She's wealthy. She's important, prominent, notable. She had money, enough evidently, because she had enough money to build Elisha, which we'll read, a little chamber. And also we'll read later that she had land. She had land. So this was a great woman. Now, Pastor, as he was going through the text yesterday, now he and I never discussed the lesson, and one of his points was great. I said, that's my first point, dude. So it's a little different in which the Lord had given, because what he talked about is that God wants us great and to exceed and to do great things for his kingdom in the sense of maybe mostly monetary. But what I want to share with you tonight, that this woman, this Shunammite woman, she's not only great monetarily, but she is great in every other area as well. You see, I believe the Bible, when if she was just rich, the Bible would call her like the rich young ruler or the rich man and Lazarus, if she was just rich, Miss Sin. But the Bible calls her great. And I liken it to like how we call God great. We don't call God great just because he's good or great in one area. He's great in mercy. He's great in love. He's great in forgiveness. So whenever somebody is called great, it's because they're great in many areas. This Shunammite woman, she was great in more than one area. Well, you say, well, how was she great? She was great because she served Elisha. Look at it here in verse 8. The Bible says that she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed, he turned in to eat. So she fed the man of God. And so as we go through this text, I want you to see how, in what areas of your life that you can serve. This text is talking about the man of God, but there are many other areas that you can serve as well. All right. So she was great because she served the man of God. The Bible says in Mark 10 that the greatest of us serve. That some of us, you know, if we want to be great in the kingdom of God, we ought to serve. And I want to ask you tonight, where are you serving? Where are you serving? How are you laying down your life? All right. She was great. One way to be great, you're like, man, how can I be great in my character? Serving other people. And let me tell you this, if you're a mama, you're serving. You are serving. But not only that, she was great because she was hospitable, guys. She was hospitable. She opened up her house to this man of God. And I understand that us as a people, we kind of don't like people coming in our house all the time. I get it. But there are other ways that we can be hospitable. And my goal and a vision that I would have is if I could see the ladies, the women of God coming together and going eat together, fellowshipping together. This is the whole point of the prayer partners. Yes, sure, it is to pray, Miss Sierra, but it's also for us to connect with other people that we would not normally connect with. All right? So that's why we do it, so that we can kind of go visit and go shopping together. And because, you know, after you get saved, you don't want to just hang around with people that you used to hang around with. You want to grow and have a friend in Christ that you can connect with. All right? So this Shunammite woman, she was hospitable. She was hospitable. She was great, y'all. But not only was she hospitable, look at it here in verse 9 of chapter 4. The Bible says, and she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. The key word is perceive. She said, I perceive that this man that keeps passing by us all the time is a holy man. She was great because she was deep. She had depth. Another word for that is discernment. She had discernment. You see, I believe the prophet was well known And people knew him from town to town. And so she had this opportunity to watch him. So as he would pass through the city, she would just watch him. You know, when you hear of somebody before you actually meet them, you just want to watch them. Well, you see, you want to know, well, what's all the fuss about? I just want to watch how they roll. And some of us like to watch and not let people know that we're watching. I call it the best watchers. Because, you know, you can look at somebody to see how they operate without them knowing that, hey, I'm watching you. So I can just see the Shunammite woman. She would just sit down. This is only in my mind. And sit on her porch and watch Elisha pass by. Well, what was she looking for? Well, maybe she was seeing if he was a false prophet. Maybe she was seeing if he was all about money. Or maybe she was seeing if he liked the ladies. I know for me as a church member, whenever I go to church or visit a new church, I want to watch. And it would be good of all of us to watch. That's why we don't have membership class so often, because we welcome watchers. All right? And so you are welcome to come and just watch. And I highly implore you, don't just join a church after going for one Sunday. You want to take your time. You want to watch and make sure you are in aligned, or you feel like this is good with my spirit. All right. So that's what I believe that she did. She watched him. She was deep. And what else? I'm thinking that whenever he was talking during eating, she probably was listening to his conversations. Like, what did he talk about? You know, the Bible says that she perceived that he was a holy man. And I just want to encourage all of us to look around, but not only to watch the man of God, but to notice people. Because I feel like sometimes we don't see other people, starting from our neighbors. We live in a society where we don't even talk to our neighbors. You know, even like, and I'm partly guilty. I don't even know my neighbor's first name. I call him neighbor. Hey, neighbor. The one near us, he's a doctor. I'm like, hey, doc. You know, but we live in a world where we don't see people. We come to church and we're just focused on getting to our seat before somebody else does. We're focused on, did they put a Bible down so I could sit? Or did the person that I saw last week sitting in my seat, sitting in there again? I hear about those seat skirmishes y'all been having. I say, wow, it's deep. I'm not saying nothing, but we want to be great. We want to be, what you think the Shunammite woman would do? What you think the Shunammite woman would do for the seat? All right. I come for peace. All right. All right. Okay, let's see where I am. Also, I just want to say, you know, I love the fact that the Lord wants us and have us in this season to connect. Because I personally can't connect one-on-one with everybody. That is why I need all of you to connect with one another. I had this one sister. She went through a terrible situation in her life. And we were talking in the bathroom at the basketball game. And I knew about the situation. She had texted me on Remind. And I asked her one question. I said, so who are you connected with? So she says, I'm connected with this person. I said, well, good, because I don't want you to have to go through this alone. And she was connected with a great person. So that's my whole thing. Whenever you are connected, you want to see people to connect so that when you go through something, you don't go through it by yourself. All right. So make sure that you're not just on this island. Point number two. I'm going to get y'all out of here for 8 o'clock. All right. The Shunammite woman. The Bible says in in verse 10, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn in there. Y'all, this is a generous woman. So first she would see this man of God walking through the city, going about his business. So she constrained him. She says, listen, come and stay. I want to feed you. Then after some time of watching him and perceiving that he is who he says he is, she goes to her husband. She says, look, honey, she says, I perceive that he is a holy man. Can we make a little chamber for him so that every time he comes through, he doesn't have to eat and leave, but he can actually eat and stay and rest? All that poured out to me in the scriptures was, she is generous. She is generous. She made a second story, commentators say, on the top of her house with an outside entrance. So every time the prophet came, Miss Betty, he could just go up and he could rest. But look, let me show you how generous she really was. Now, us, we would have been like, look, you can sleep in our back room. All right. Or if some of us would have been, if we would have done a little bit more, we would have provided something, but you're going to have to get your own furniture, though. But what she did was she provided furniture. So it was a furnished loft. She got him a bed. What else the Bible says? She got him a bed, a table to eat, a stool to sit down, and a candlestick for some lighting. That's all that he needed. If he was there one night, two nights, and then she cooked too. She was generous, guys. A generous person, by definition, is somebody ready to give, Miss Diane. Somebody ready to give. But not only give, but give what is not expected. All right? To give something that's not expected. It's giving above. It's giving plenty. To feed him was a generous gesture in and of itself. But then she take it a step further. I'm not only going to feed you, but I'm going to provide housing for you. And not only am I going to provide housing for you, I'm going to furnish your housing. And she is not expecting anything in return. When was the last time that we have given without any type, like over? And this is, yes, I'm going to talk about all categories. This is church, yes. This is God, yes. But this is in every part of your life. Do you give plentifully? Is it over? Some of us have this mindset, said, I'm just going to give this and that's it. That's not a way to be great. You see, something miraculous happened to this woman. The Bible says that your gift shall make room. This generous gesture made room. But the giver, a generous person, money is not there, is not number one on their list. Money is not number one on their list. This person is ready to give with no coercion, no pressure to give. It's not a long delay to give. Like, you know, you got the money and somebody want the money and you're like, let me think about it. And you got to keep thinking about it. And it's been 7 to 10 days. The Bible says if you have it to give, give it. You know, and listen, let me just say this. This is an all-around convicting message, okay? This is for a convicting message for me as well. I heard this one man of God. Y'all gonna have to help me with his name. He was he's a singer, and he got saved. And he's like maybe in his 50s, 60s, 70s. Not like Ray Charles. And he used to dance really good. What is it? No. Mm-mm. Not. Mm-mm. And he used to wear makeup. Little Richard. All right. Thank you. When I said the makeup, huh, y'all like, oh, yeah, that's it. Well, I was watching his testimony, and you know, he said he had done everything under the sun. Everything under the sun. But one thing that stuck out to me whenever he was giving his testimony, he said this. He said, I did not have that much wealth just for myself. He said, I could not hear of somebody down my street about to lose their house, and I kept my wealth on me. All right? So all of us that are praying to increase, get ready. Because where you have a lot, more is going to be required of you. So either if you want to stay tight, you say, Lord, don't give me any money. But if you want to open up your heart to be a giver, remember that you're going to have to give. If you want God to give you, be ready to give back. All right? All right. Let's see where I am. And I just want to say this. Listen, I say it's an all-around convicting message because my natural personality outside of Christ, I am, if you guys know about administrators, we are like, you know, we want to count everything. And we want to know where all the pennies went. And if it doesn't balance, then why is it not balanced? And we're just, yes, I'm just going to stop there. However, you know, after salvation, God began to do a new work in my soul. And I know it was God because it was completely not me. Like I know my natural personality, all right, how I was born. But now the Lord has reorganized, given me a new heart in so much that now the tight person is generous. Jesus is real. And how did he do this to me? I'm going to tell you what he did. He began to show me of all the things that he's done for me. All the things he's done for me. And I just kind of wrote them down. I said, saved at 19. God bless you. That's a miracle of it in itself. Because I was going really bad. All right? Married to the husband that I'm married to, I could have married anybody. All right? Like, I went to Northside. Have the children that I thought I couldn't have. Start a church? A church? I didn't even like going to church. And then not only starting a church, but being the first lady of a church. Sometimes I'm sitting down, I'm like, what? What? Really? Starting a school? When I tell my friends, they start laughing. They say, stop lying. Like people that I went to school with, they like, stop lying. I was like, I'm telling y'all I'm principal. They're like, no, you're not no principal. I'm like, okay. That's how far-fetched it was. And so whenever I recall those things, when pastor comes sometimes and, you know, we talk, even I do the same thing to him. And he says, you know, they got this situation going on. This person needs this or whatever. This is what I say. He said, this person needs this amount or whatever. I say, God has been so good to me. God has been so good to me. What's $100? What's $200? What's $300? God has been so good to me. So whenever you are tempted to hold on, Just think about it. Like, it's not, like, what's money? What is that? But a tool. This Shunammite woman, she was generous, guys. She was generous. You know, as I was thinking about it, the Lord gave me a few little subtopics within it. A giver gives with a happy heart. A giver is happy. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, but not grudgingly, but a cheerful giver. We ought to be happy to give. Like when it's offering time in church, it should start a party. It really should. And if people come and they're solemn and they're sad and just sit back down. Because God is so good. You see, the Bible says that when we have been forgiven much, we love much. But when we have been forgiven little, we love little. The Shunammite woman, she gave to the prophet with a happy heart. But not only that, a generous person, they look for opportunities to give. You see, they have certain people, some people, when there is an opportunity to give, they leave the scene. They leave. I heard one woman of God told me, she said, I called this person to ask for some monies, but they said, why don't you call this person? But instead, as a generous person, what we have to do is say, I am looking for an opportunity to give. The Bible says,
all right. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You see, the thing about this Shunammite woman, she was not looking for a reward. She didn't do it for something to get back. I just believe that when you step out on faith and that you've become a giver, like you can say, God, just go ahead and label me a giver. Just go ahead and label me this. So whenever you say, God, label me as a giver, God puts you in his armory. And whenever he wants to bless somebody in his area, one of his children, he says, listen, I got to call up my giver because my giver is willing to give. You see, we always want to be blessed. But the thing about being blessed is that God has to give it to somebody in order to bless us. But we want to be blessed, but somebody has to be the giver. Why not we change the way that we think instead of wanting to get, give? We're always looking to get instead of giving. I want to encourage everyone not to be a taker. Don't be a taker. Don't always look to see how can it benefit me. You don't want to be a taker, guys. No, you don't want to be a taker. Let me see where that is on my notes. You want to be the first one to give. When there is an opportunity, you want to give. But also, do you know that giving shows what you have in your heart? Because you see, many people say they love God with their lips. But the Bible tells me that wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. How can we be a people that say we love God but do not have any actions to follow it? It's actually a test to see if we really love him. Like Annalise read today, how the book of James says that faith without works is dead being alone. Faith without works is dead being alone. We sing, God, oh, I love you. God says, show me. You want to be blessed, but when was the last time you blessed somebody else? When was the last time you paid for somebody's meal? A bunch of girls going out. When was the last time you said, you know what, I have a little extra. Let me take care of your tab. When was the last time you cooked for somebody or bought somebody some food and brought it to them? When was the last time when you had a little extra, went ahead and paid somebody's light bill? Yeah, sure, we could save it for ourselves. But if you know that there is somebody with a need, if there is a need, guys, we got to be a people that are willing to give. You see, if we wake up and be a people that's willing to give, God going to keep giving. So I want to be enlisted in his armory as a giver, because the giver never goes broke. The clenched fist always is broke, but somebody that's a giver, always packing fair, always. It's a choice that you're going to have to make moving forward. Givers are free from greed. You want to ensure that you're not greedy? Be a giver. You can't be a giver and a greedy person. I'm going to tell this short story. As it is, 8 o'clock on the dot. God have mercy. Yes. Ooh, that made me nervous. All right. Y'all want to stop now? Pastor say, babe, at men's Bible study, when it's time, I just quit. I can part two it. Whatever y'all want. Because he said, babe, in the middle, because I said, I'm going to get done for 8. Okay, I'm moving on. I'm talking too much. All right. So let me tell you this story. I'm going to read it because I don't want to mess it up. A Nigerian folk tale illustrates the destructive nature of greed. Three friends were on a journey when they found a full bag of money. They were happy with their fortune. They were hungry, so they sent the youngest man into a nearby town to buy food. As he left, one of the men persuaded the other that they should kill the other man. So when he returned, so that they would not have to divide the money three ways, but two ways. Meanwhile, the youngest man had bought the food and started back when he got an idea. He said, if I could kill these two men, the money would be all mine. So he returned to town, bought some poison, and put it in the food. He says to himself, I will tell them that I have already eaten and I am not hungry. They will eat and die, and the money will be all mine, he thought. He no sooner arrived back with the other two men, and they beat him to death. Then they sat down to eat their lunch. But before they could finish, they became ill and died from the poison. And so, because of greed, all three men died. So wouldn't you have rather share the money three ways? Now, nobody gets the money. I would pray that I would be along that trail and pick up the money myself. And if it's you and me, Miss Lil, we're going to split it half and we're going to give God his 10. All right. All right. And the thing about it is, greed is so easy to recognize in somebody else. See, all of us right now, we're thinking, oh, yeah, this one greedy. Oh, yeah, my husband. Oh, yeah. But what we have to do is see it in us first. Am I greedy? Am I kind of tight? We like to say when we're tight, we say we're frugal. That's just a twist on it, just so that we can make ourselves feel good. And there is a place for frugality. I'm not trying to take that away. But at the same time, you know when money is your number one God. All right? God is a giver. God is a giver. The Bible says that he is a giver of life. The Bible says, let us make man in our image. He gives life. He gives salvation in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's a giver of wealth. I'm moving quickly, y'all. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who gives wealth, the power to get wealth. God is a giver. And if you say God is my God, he is my father, your daddy is a giver. So if your daddy is a giver, you ought to mimic your daddy and be a giver. Last and final point. All right, so I'm not going to read it all because I said, babe, I'm going to read 11 through 37. He says, you're going to read the whole thing? I'm not going to read the whole thing. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. All right. So 11, let's see. Let's go to verse 11. And it fell on a day that he came there, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. This is the prophet. He came in. Verse 12. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he called her, she stood before him. In verse 13, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful with us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. This Shunammite woman encountered God. This was a divine opportunity for this woman. So she did all of this, not looking for anything in return. Then all of a sudden, the prophet's sitting down, and the prophet is like, look at all of this. He told his servant, Gehazi, bring her over here. He said, now she stops at the door because they had customs for women and men. So she stops. He says, what is it? Do you want to be known with the king, or do you want to be known with the captain of the host? She said, nah. She said, she says, I dwell among my own people. Now, the thing about her answer is that not that she did not want something, but she was too afraid of asking that. Pastor was up here talking about that yesterday. I said, babe, in between first service, I said, it's almost the same message. He said, well, then God knows what each woman is holding in secret, and he want to confirm it twice if you didn't hear it yesterday. There is something that you have in your heart that you've been praying for that you think nobody knows. Thank you, Holy Ghost. God says, I know, and I sent somebody to tell you two times, back to back. Because, oh my God, this is your opportunity to receive it. And this is the thing. I can't even do it. Let's read the scriptures. Look what she says. She says, I dwell amongst my own people. But look in 14, she says, and look, not a prophet, he didn't even pay attention to her. He just disregarded what she said. Because evidently God had really impressed him to bless her. Look what he says in 14. And he said, what then is to be done for her? He's asking Gehazi, and Gehazi answered, well, verily, she has no child, and her husband is old. You see, back in those days, not to have a child was looked upon as bad. All right, nowadays, we're giving up children, but back in the day, everybody knew that the fruit of the womb is the Lord's reward. So Gehazi said, well, look, she doesn't have any children. All right? And the 15, he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood at the door again. Can you imagine? She probably was thinking like, oh, my God. In 16, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord. Thou man of God, do not lie to your handmaid. She said, no. He looked at her when she stood at the door. And he said, listen, by this time, you're going to give birth to a son. Now, whatever you have been asking for from God in secret, when God says you're going to get it, that what she did, she says, no. Well, you say, God, I've been waiting for it. Why would she say no? Because she was afraid. Because she had prayed for this already. But she had no other person came and delivered on it. So she's like, I don't want to open up this womb again. You see, I've already cried for it and I didn't get anything. I've already prayed and I didn't get it yet. She has all the money, but what she really wanted, money could not even buy. What is it that you are praying for tonight? That God has sent both my husband and myself to tell you that by this time, next year, my God, she had it in her heart. And you look, fear tried to creep in, but I'm telling you this. You see, she buried it. But y'all don't know that on 3 days, things that were in the grave can rise out of the grave. You say, how do you know, Chantel? Well, Jesus Christ is my evidence. Unbury it. Yes, is she talking to me? No, but God is. Unbury whatever you have been burying because of fear, because of doubt, because of the current circumstance. You don't believe God. God is a healer. If it's sickness in your body, God is a healer. God is a life giver. This woman, the Bible says that her husband was old, but she still conceived. He's a life giver. That's just who he is. And this is the kicker about God. He is willing to give. He is generous and merciful. He is not like us where we are trying to be stingy, but he's walking around wanting to give to everybody that shows that they have a need. I don't know what you've been asking for. I don't know if it's yourself, the salvation of your husband, of your boyfriend, of your friend, of your boo. I don't know. If it's a generational financial breakthrough, because we are done praying for financial breakthroughs. We need a generational financial breakthrough. We don't just want a check. We want to be out of debt this generation and the next generation. Some, it may be peace in your mind. You're like, God, you know my thoughts. My own thoughts, they're killing me. I'm killing myself with my own thoughts. Some of you, it's peace in your marriage. You know that it's fussing and fighting. Y'all can't get on one accord for nothing in the world. You fasted for it. You've talked to other people about it, and nothing. So when the prophet comes to tell you, look, you will be in one accord with your husband, you say, no, my Lord. But God is giving out whatever you need tonight. My God. My God. She stood at the door. My God. Moving to point three. The Bible says, I'm gonna fast forward. I'm going to give you a synopsis because I'm not going to read it all. But go back in your own time and learn about this Shunammite woman. I was taken back by her. I was reading about it in my bed, and I was like, what type of woman is that? And actually, not even for point number one, not even for point number two that she was generous, but it was point number three that I said, what's her name again? She said, it is well. Well, one day the boy grew up. The boy is out in the field in on their property with the dad and the reapers and the workers. Something happens. He goes to his dad. He says, look, daddy, my head hurt. The daddy says, like all dads, go by your mama, right? So he goes by the mother. He goes by the Shunammite woman. She holds him. The Bible says that she holds him for a long time. Then afterwards, the boy dies. So this is how she responds to this. Now, us, I would have lost my mind. No joke, and I'm not lying. But this is what she does. She takes the boy. She goes up on the second floor. She lays him on the prophet's bed. She then leaves her boy on the prophet's bed. She tells her husband, she says, I need to go see the prophet. Can you get me one of these young boys and a horse so that we can go? And the husband says this. He says, listen, it's the Sabbath. She says, but listen, I need to go. He says, why? She says, it is well. She didn't tell her husband that the boy was dead. Why didn't she tell him that the boy was dead? Faith. So when she is on her way to see the prophet, from far away, the prophet says, Gehazi, that looks like the Shunammite woman. Go out and see what she needs. So Gehazi goes out and see, and he's like, hey, what is it? Is it your son? Is it your husband? What do you need? She says, it is well. Why would you constantly two times say, it is well? Look at it here. Let's pick up in verse 26. That was a short synopsis. Let's go in 25. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her. It is and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, it is well. It is well. Why did she say it is well? And her son is dead. You know, I believe that she said it is well because she had a revelation of the sovereignty of God. She had a revelation of the sovereignty of God. Something is going on with this mic. Do I need a switch? I'm going to switch it. This one's not on. Help me out. Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Devil, we bind you up in the name of Jesus. You see, it's not that she did not know that it wasn't all well, but it's that she had a full revelation of the sovereignty of God. She says, you know, it is well, which simply means shalom. So when they ask her, Ebony, they say, look, what is going on? Are you okay? She said, peace. Peace one time, peace again. Well, it's not all well, but whatever happens to my son, it is well. That's what the Shunammite woman is saying. If God takes him away, it is well. If God lends him to me a little longer, it is well. What type of woman is that? That she would not even fret, that she would not even worry, but it is well. But I also think that, you see, when God has answered prayers in the past, that it builds your faith. When you've seen him do it before, you know that he'll do it again, all right? So when she goes, she knows that she could not even have a child. But the prophet, the Lord used him, and now she has a child. So now the child is dead. So she goes to the prophet when she has ascended upon the hill, the Bible says. She had to go up to Mount Carmel. Okay, that's for your Bible scholars. She went up, and the Bible says that she fell on the floor to his feet and grabbed his feet. This is a woman of stature. This is a prominent woman. And for her to fall down, this is not like a poor widow in the early chapter 4. But this is a woman of prestige. And when she saw the prophet, Miss Connie, she fell before him. And she just began to weep. And the Bible continues to say that he ends up going, he lays on the child, which could be even a separate sermon for all your teachers. He lays on the child recovers, sneezes 7 times. So the Lord answered her. But why did he answer her? Because she just believed him. You see, y'all, we all gonna go through some stuff, yeah. We all will go through some stuff. You see, the thing about it is like even for believers, God sends trials for us specifically. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that the day God sends the day of adversity. You see, a fickle fate thinks that we will not have trouble. Nah, God sends trouble. Didn't he send it to Abraham? Didn't he ask Abraham, go ahead, send up your son. Let me see how much you love me, Abraham. Did not he do it to Job? Taking his sons and daughters, giving Job boils on his body? Did not he do it? But it's to see what we're made of. But in the midst of her trial, she picks up the boy. She brings the boy to the place where she knows that he is going to be healed. She gets up, talks to her husband. The Bible doesn't say she's screaming at him. The Bible doesn't say that she's choking him. The Bible just says, she says, look, can I get a horse and the youngest man to take me to the prophet? Then when she gets to the prophet, if she doesn't tell Gehazi off. She just goes to the prophet and she says, it is well. How do we handle trials? How do we handle trial? And look, I must confess, I am a baby. In the midst, I cry. But this woman's faith just blessed my soul. I'm like, God. It's like when Jesus says to the woman who is requesting something from her, and she says, look. She says, look, even the dogs are able to eat from the master's table. Jesus says, oh, woman, great is thy faith. It is time for us to be those women again. That even though the boat moves and the waves come, that we stand steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why are we fretting? Y'all, let's encourage one another to not doubt our King. Why? Because if he did it before, he can do it again. Which one of you are willing to stand with me and in the midst of a trial say, God, it is well. Now my light's off. Now I don't have my mortgage payment. Now my husband is acting out of order, but it is well. It is well. My body is aching. I'm not healed like I want to be healed, but it is well. We don't live in a perfect world, y'all. But what we have to do is we have to maintain in this world, and we have to be the light. If we get all scared, how will we encourage unbelievers? If we are the ones that say he is the anchor for our soul, but as soon as the bad weather come in our life, then we cry like a baby. Let us pray. We're going to end. Oh, most gracious Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for today. Oh, God, give us what we don't have. Give us greatness, not just in money, but in the midst of a trial that we can stand fast on the rock of all ages. God, help us to be a giver, generous, not withholding, not tight, missing our opportunity. God, and in the midst, help us, in the midst of trial, help us not to fret, worry, and doubt, and complain. But help us to say like this nameless woman, we don't even know her name. But she said it as well. Father, I pray that you would put it on every single woman in this place, God. God, I'm praying, God, for all of us, myself included. God, bless us, God. We need you so desperately in every area. In Jesus' name. If you need some altar time, I'm willing to pray. We're going to do the sinner's prayer in just a second. Thank you, Grace. But we're going to pray for those hidden things. Because I just believe. I was in my house and I said, God, you are answering requests right now. He is answering requests. So if that is you, we're going to pray and I'm going to get you out of here. We are behind, but come on and pray. The power of God is here. My God.